The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Hey, the Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you'll end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." Today we're going to continue with the essence of my message regarding the Virgin's Covenant, part 2. Overview: the Virgin's Covenant is critical to understanding sex, marriage, adultery, and divorce. One of the most difficult to explain human organs is the hymen, the membrane that partially seals the entrance to the vagina of a girl or young woman whose vagina has never been penetrated. It appears to serve no useful purpose. This broadcast will explore the deep spiritual significance of this organ. We will look at what should be done by a woman who discovers she has a virgin's covenant with a man other than the man she's living with as a partner. We look at what a man should do when he realizes he has a virgin's covenant with a woman who is not his present partner. We'll look at what to do next and note that it is not about all the other stuff we hear of. We'll refer to the Isaiah 4:1 factor, 7 times as many women as men believers. We will ask about love and discuss the one flesh bond in detail. We'll then look at the 7 days of consummation and choosing a partner and marrying. We will reference further related articles. I present a postscript, the biggest error crippling believers, and finally we will look at the state of your relationship, the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a general manager. I have nearly 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. And see also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show in the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. There are at least three podcast websites where you can get all the back issues. So today we're going to continue with the message to 2021-1105, the essence of my message regarding the Virgin's Covenant. If you missed the first broadcast, I encourage you to go back and have a listen. As I say, it's on those various websites. It's also on LinkedIn. It's on YouTube. So it's readily available. So the Virgin's Covenant is critical to understanding sex, marriage, adultery, and divorce. So continuing from where we left off, is there a way out? Because of the lies and the lack of knowledge, God does grant, this is now in the context of you've got a Virgin's Covenant and you discover that it's not with a man or the woman that you're currently living with as partner. Because of all the lies and the lack of knowledge, God does grant grace in the event of humble and contrite supplication, coupled to repentance, but not always. It depends on what you knew beforehand and your circumstances after consummation. In particular, since the vast majority of women are not living with the man who took their virginity, there is a basic remedy. So, it's a widespread, almost universal situation, certainly in Western society today, and I would think probably in most societies, that a man is not living with the woman whose virginity he's taken, and a woman is not living with the man who took her virginity. So just going into some more detail, if we look at a woman, if you're a woman, contact the man who took your virginity and ask him to take you under his covering and comply with the terms set out last week in terms of the covenant as established at the time of consummation. Preferably do this face-to-face. If not face-to-face, then in writing, and if not in writing, verbally. But note that if your attitude is wrong and you push him away, your approach will count for nothing in the court of heaven. If you do it meekly and gently and he turns you away and refuses to do right by you, you then have a basis to ask you off a divorce, and the sin will be on the head of the man. If you cannot locate the man, make every reasonable attempt to contact him, and if after you've still not been able to contact him, assisted by appropriate prayers and worldly measures like Facebook, etc., you then have a basis for divorce and to ask Yah for grace and mercy. Folks, please listen carefully to what I've just said. I'm not explicitly saying that the woman should go back to the man and expect him to take her into his covering. It's almost never going to happen. But you need to take that chance. You need to take that risk if you want to, if that's what's going on in your head. You have to go back to him and say, you took my virginity. I now understand that I'm your wife, and I'm asking you to take me under your covering and take me back. And if he then refuses, you're free. Understand also that if he's an unbeliever and you're a believer, then it's a separate issue, because Father requires you as a believer to divorce the unbeliever. So if the man who took your virginity is clearly an unbeliever, you're clearly a believer, you then go to Father and say, Father, this man that is my husband is an unbeliever, please grant me a divorce. If you're living with another man in marriage or covenant and he refuses to let you do this, the sin is upon him. He must remember that he's in adultery and will be tormented in hell for at least some time unless the situation is cleaned up. So it is in his interest for you to do this, for you to contact the first man, in the hope the first man will decline. Once one has reached a point where Yah grants divorce, one is then in a position to pray the appropriate prayers. See the essence of my message, separation of man and woman, on the website. Once you've done that and cleaned up relative to all other sexual relationships, you're then free to enter into covenant with your present partner, or provided you do not have sex with him again, leave him. That's a separate discussion. But since you've been in adultery, you're not bound to him in the court of heaven. But be aware that if you've made love regularly, you will suffer massive trauma if you leave him for the wrong reasons. This does not necessarily mean that you should not leave him. I say again, if you're a believer, this teaching only applies to believer, and he is an unbeliever, then Yah expects you to leave. So, folks, this is a classic example where if you are really seeking to serve Father, he's going to expect you to do something that doesn't make sense from a worldly, natural point of view. And if you can do the mental readjustment to understand why he's asking you to do this and do it willingly and freely, it will set you free. If you stay on trying to wriggle and what have you, it's going to come and bite you. So if we look at it from the man's point of view, if you're a man, you face the reverse situation. You come to realize you took the virginity of a woman and are responsible for her before Yah until death, but she's not with you. Contact her and offer to take her under your covering. You must do this with the right attitude. If she turns you away, you have a basis for divorce. If you cannot locate her, make every reasonable effort through prayers, Facebook, etc., and if you fail, you have a basis to ask for mercy and a divorce. Once you have the divorce from Yah, apply the same prayers, etc., set out in the document referenced above. Cut the one flesh bonds, the friendship bonds, etc., 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 the vows and promises, etc. If you as a man are living with another woman and she refuses to allow you to do this, the sin is upon her. She needs to understand that unless you clean up, you will spend time in hell. So assuming she loves you, she should support you in this. If your present woman was not a virgin when you took her, you need her to go through the same process as outlined above so that she can obtain a divorce in the court of heaven so she can marry you legally in the court of heaven. If you took the virginity of a number of women, you need to do this repeatedly with each of them, noting that you could end up with multiple wives. So there is such spiritual confusion. And I want to stress again, this only applies if you're a believer. If you're an unbeliever, if you don't have a relationship with Father, it's irrelevant. If you have a relationship with Father and you want to get your life right with Father, it should be easy to do this stuff. But it is a different mindset saying, there's a Bible verse which is, he who seeks to save his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will gain eternal life. So there's a point at which you've got to take a gamble, take a risk. So what next? Once you've prayed the prayers set out in the document referenced above, that's the one on the separation of man and woman, you can enter a covenant with your present man or woman, either on the basis of the terms set out above or other terms you may agree. This requires cutting of all other one-flesh bonds, soul ties, and other spiritual connections, renouncing vows and promises, including inner vows, and physically cutting ties as appropriate before you enter into a new covenant, in other words, before you have sex. In general, stop communicating with the past man, men, or women, unless by prior agreement with your new partner, with firm resolve on your part to keep all contact to strictly arm's length, as necessitated by particular situations. Be acutely aware that the love bond will work against arm's length. So the love bond, I'll talk more about this in a minute, but if you've made love sensitively and made love, you create a spiritual force called love, which is designed to pull you together. And if you did that with the man or woman who's not with you anymore, and you get back in contact with them, it's going to go boom, like it's just you've never been apart. And that's not the purpose of doing what we're talking about. Unless, of course, it is in the sense that they took your virginity, you had a good relationship, something went wrong. There's a lot of complexity here, and if you're stuck and you're not sure what to do, drop me an email and we can get on Zoom or phone or whatever, and I'll talk you through it, help you to define exactly what needs to be done and show you what to pray, etc. Note that love never dies, but you can put it aside and not give it place. The love for each person is in its own spiritual compartment. You can pray for the compartment to be sealed and never open it, and you can also pray for all desire for that person to be closed off. Again, see the article on the essence of message separation, man and woman. Not that easy to do, though. Note that if the woman is legally married to another man with a divorce pending, even if she has separated and all the relevant prayers have been prayed, the forces of darkness will still secure a judgment for adultery. So it's necessary for the woman to be legally divorced before consummation. To enter into a new covenant, you should take the bread and wine and pray over the covenant meal and recite the agreed terms before consummation. See the other documents that I'll reference in a minute. Be aware that sexual intercourse with ejaculation by the male in the female, the vagina of the female, introduces a covenant, albeit weaker than the resulting from the virgin's blood, unless reinforced by taking the blood and wine of the covenant of Yeshua, in which case the covenant is of the same strength. If you do not agree explicit terms, the terms set out previously will apply. So, folks, as I said, if you're unsure what to do, drop me an email. I'll give you the email address again at the end of the broadcast. And it's quite complex. It can get complicated. I'll help you work it out and sort it out. Once you've got it straight, it will be a lot better. And you may say, well, why is it so we weren't meant to screw around, if you'll forgive my language. We were meant to pick a partner and live with them for life. That was Father's plan. So it's not about all the other stuff we hear about in the world. Notice that covenant is a tough, no-nonsense contract. It is possible for any man and any woman to be attracted and fall in love, and it is possible for them to fall out of love. It is possible for them to have good sex, even if they're from totally different backgrounds. But if they do not take account of the standard covenant terms, making them explicit in their search for a life partner, and negotiate firmly before consummation, they're likely to make a serious mistake. The reason most marriages fail is because they started out on the wrong foot with no knowledge of covenant, and from day one they've been breaking the default terms at some level. In most cases, the woman was not a physical or spiritual virgin at consummation, so everything is messed up and defiled. There's only one answer: clean up, do the necessary hard yards, pray the necessary prayers, have the tough conversations, and then consummate properly. Fundamentally, Father intended us to go through a pre-qualification, choose carefully, negotiate carefully, and then consummate passionately and live together for the rest of our lives. That's the design parameter. Those are the design parameters. If you've gone around and you've had sex with this one and sex with that one, what have you, yes, it's going to be difficult to clean it up because you've gone around and messed it up. Not your fault necessarily, because the church lies about these things and doesn't tell you the truth. So you think you can do things that you can't, that have huge spiritual consequences. But at the end of the day, if you want to be right with Father, and remember, I'm talking to people who want to have a relationship with Father. If you don't want a relationship with Father, nothing that I say is of any relevance to you. Well, it's relevance at a technical level because these things are real, but if you don't want a relationship with Father, it really doesn't matter what you do. You can go off and have a good time because you're not going to be in a good place when you die irrespective of what you do. This is about people who want to have a relationship with Father. Then the added complexity, the Isaiah 4:1 factor. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 suggests that in this age, there will be 7 times more women than men in the body of true believers. This is valid today in the body of believers, where there are indeed approximately 7 women to every man. However, Isaiah's solution of 7 women covenanting with 1 man is not possible in Western society. The women cannot and will not share, and the men cannot cope. I know. I tried it and failed miserably and painfully till I asked Father to allow me to enter a monogamous covenant. The reality, therefore, is that most believing women are better off single, since they're simply not nearly sufficient genuine believing men to go around. See the article, Single Woman Believers, 7 Times Men. Note that believing women are permitted to covenant with other believing women and have a sexual relationship with them. See the article, The Essence of My Message Regarding Sex. So, folks, you can listen to what I've just said and say, well, I don't do sharing, etc. And yeah, that's actually the case in most of the world today. Doesn't alter the fact that it's possible. And the key thing here is not the sex piece. The key thing here is if you are a believing woman who is reasonably close to Father, you are probably better off single for the rest of your life. And then if you want to have a relationship with another woman who believes the way you do and covenants with you, then that's acceptable. That said, it's vital to understand that if you are a man, you're created to be able to covenant with more than 1 woman. So unless you keep your eyes, mind, and heart closely focused on your woman, you will sooner or later find another woman who attracts you. At that point, you have a choice. If you have a monogamous covenant, keep it or break it. Break your woman and be judged. It's also important to understand that any man and any woman can be attracted. And if you use worldly criteria, it will always be possible to find another who appears to be better than your current partner. Again, once you understand covenant, you should not allow such attractions or close working relationships to even begin to get out of hand. If you treat your partner badly, they're much more likely to fall for another. So comply with the covenant and treat them well. It is not about falling in love. It's about keeping covenant. And if you keep covenant and you make love passionately, regularly, in a sensitive, caring way, such that you both climax regularly, love will grow and it will hold you together. If you have deep love one for another, it's very, very difficult to separate. Note that you can do this. 2 men can do it. 2 women can do it. A man and a woman can do it. A man and several women can do it. It's all possible. There are just some things that are permitted and there's some things that are not permitted. And you need to be clear on that. Again, if you're a man in a sexual relationship with another man and you're both believers, you've got a bit of a problem. You've got a choice. You can carry on with the relationship or you can set it apart and live together without further sex after you've repented and taken the covenant meal. But you have to understand that if you keep at it and you die, you will go to hell for a season. You will eventually end up in heaven. You just need to decide whether you're willing to pay that price. So what about love? What about love, you ask? Well, the reason it is called making love is because if a man and woman make love to one another, especially in a caring, loving manner, a spiritual force that we know as love will come into existence. The spiritual force is designed to hold man and woman together and will never die, even in the afterlife, but it can be murdered through continual strife, rebellion, violence, treachery, adultery, etc. You do not enter into union because you love. You love because you are in union. So care for and cherish one another. Make love regularly, considerately, and skillfully, and the risk of falling in love with someone else will be greatly reduced. I can't stress this enough. There is no such thing as a foreordained life partner. There's some people who go down this route and say, God has this ideal man or ideal woman for me. No. Any believing man or believing woman, depending on your gender, is an ideal partner for you, provided they're culturally compatible, et cetera, et cetera. And even if they're not, if you make love, if you treat each other well, if you observe the covenant, it will work. It's designed to work. It's not designed to end up in the divorce court. That's why Father hates divorce. Not in a legalistic way, you've got to stay married to somebody where it's a complete mess, but in a way that says he designed it to be beautiful and to work, and he doesn't want you to mess around with it. So the one flesh bond is the key component. Something else impacts the situation of man and woman. When a man or woman reaches a sexual climax or orgasm, a portion of their spirit is ejected from the vagina in the woman and the penis in the man. In both cases, the sexual organs are at the end of a spiritual duct that connects the sexual organs to the spiritual heart, the core, the center of the man and the woman. Thus, when a man ejaculates in the vagina of a woman, a portion of his spirit flows into her and up the duct in her spirit to attach to her heart. When she orgasms over his penis, a portion of her spirit flows down over his penis and up the corresponding duct to attach to his spiritual heart. This is the one flesh bond, and this is the reason why an adultery is an abomination in the sight of Yah. It is spiritual chaos, everybody joined to everyone else. And you need to understand that if you have sex with somebody and they go off and have sex with somebody else, and they have sex with somebody else, and meantime one of those has had sex with a prostitute, you're effectively joined to just about every man and woman on the planet. And spiritually, from Father's point of view, that is just so traumatic and such a mess. And if you're a believer, it's going to make a mess of your life. So you need to get rid of that. You need to clean it up. And we'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. But this is designed, again, to pull you together. So it's so important. Don't go and have casual sex. Don't have so-called premarital sex. Only have sex with a man or woman that you intend to spend the rest of your life with. You can say the same if it's two men, you can say the same if it's two women, but I'm concentrating on man and woman because that's really what we're talking about. These spiritual ties do not, however, break. They're like infinitely elastic strands that join the man to the woman. The more frequently and the more passionately the man and woman make love, the stronger this bond becomes, such that they begin to know each other's thoughts, to be able to communicate without words, even if they're separated by half the world. One flesh bond, together with the love bond and the covenant terms, are all designed to ensure that the union succeeds, provided you both adhere to the terms of the covenant. If they fight and argue, the bond will get weaker. A weaker bond is formed in the event of male ejaculation in the mouth, vulva, or anus of the woman. This is a betrothal bond, and an even weaker bond is formed in the event of ejaculation elsewhere on the body. Likewise, if the woman orgasms in contact with the man other than with his penis in her vagina, e.g. on his hand, a weaker bond is formed. If she orgasms on his mouth, a relatively strong bond is formed, less so than with the orgasm with penis in the vagina. So again, folks, I hope I'm not offending you by talking frankly about sex, but if I am, please check it out. This is real. This is nitty gritty stuff about men and women and how you make relationships work and why relationships don't work. If you understand all the things that I'm talking about and you put what I'm teaching into practice, you will have a good marriage, provided you're both believers. And it'll work even if you're both unbelievers or one believer. You can have a love bond and a one flesh bond between a believer and an unbeliever. You can have the same between unbelievers. It's just you will get the same impact of all of this. So it applies at that level. But if you don't believe, you know, then so what? It doesn't really matter. Do what you have to do. So when a man and woman who are already one masturbate apart from another, thinking one another, the spiritual ejaculate will flow down the existing tie. The same bond is formed in casual and adulterous sex sex with prostitutes, and even masturbation in phone sex, or looking intensely at pictures or fantasizing about someone. The bond with masturbation is much less than the bond with physical contact. The bottom line, only have sex with your life partner. Once the bond has been formed, specific prayers are required. See the article, The Essence of Message Separation of Man and Woman, that I've referred to previously. See also the other articles listed at the end of this broadcast. There's much more material on the website. So, sex is a hugely powerful spiritual act. There's a tendency amongst many in formal religion to regard sex as carnal and worldly. It's not. It's deeply spiritual. Talking about men and women living in celibacy, there's no basis for that. Yeshua was celibate for very good reason. Saul, Paul, was celibate by choice. He didn't have to be. There's no real benefit to a man of being celibate, but as is written in the Bible, if you are living with another person, it does distract you from serving Father. But if we all said, well, to serve Father, we wouldn't have sex, well, it'd be a bit of a mess, wouldn't it? Then the 7 days of consummation. There's a spiritual window of 7 days, seven being the number of completion and perfection. From the moment that the covenant is first consummated with the shedding of blood with a virgin or male ejaculation in the vagina in the case of a truly divorced woman or widow. During this window, the couple should spend all their time together, make love as frequently as possible, and build their relationship in a caring and loving manner. A union based on such a foundation will be strong and much more likely to last for life. A one-night stand or quickie has very little probability of success. Once the covenant has been consummated and the 7 days are elapsed, you will never again have that same opportunity to build a strong foundation. This is powerful, folks. If a man and a woman or two women consummate, take the bread and wine if she's not a true virgin, take the vows, enter into covenant, and make love passionately multiple times a day, for 7 days, they will be so strongly bound together that just about nothing will separate them. They will have a massive love bond, they'll have a substantial one flesh bond, and they will go from strength to strength. It doesn't matter if they come from different cultures or whatever, that's going to make it more difficult. You're better off to find somebody from your own community, from your own society, from your own set of religious beliefs. It's not vital. If you do what I'm talking about here, it will work irrespective. But the key point I'm making is this whole thing about dating and and fancy wedding ceremonies, etc., 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 is absolutely pointless if you don't have a strong consummation, if you don't spend 7 days strengthening your consummation. So, so important. So that brings us to choosing a partner and marrying. This is going to be too late for most of the people listening to this broadcast, but it's perhaps not for your children, not too late for your children. I've concluded that the old-fashioned approach of parents choosing partners for their children is the way to go, but not in the rough fashion that some practice today. Establish that the proposed couple come from the same background, have the same values and religious beliefs and moral standards, agree to some form of introduction, agree the covenant terms based on what is set out previously, have a party, consummate the union for a week, or consummate the union for a week and then have a party. Whatever you do, do not let the couple get even vaguely drunk before they consummate. The important thing is the consummation, not the party, and do not keep them up late. As far as I'm concerned, a party before consummation is out. I spoke many years ago to a very good friend who was an Orthodox Jew, and what he shared with me is in their community, what they would do is when a boy or a girl got to around sort of 17, 18, when they were legally allowed to marry, the parents of a young man would approach the parents of a young woman and say, I think your daughter or your son is a good match for my daughter, my son. They would discuss it if they thought that that was the case. They would speak to the children. They would then arrange a meeting between the two children, two young adults, with a chaperone, and so get to talk to each other. And they would speak for a few hours, probably with some sort of a guiding in terms of what they should discuss. If at the end of that time they decide that they can spend the rest of their lives together, within 2 or 3 weeks they would arrange a party, the two would consummate, and the marriage would be put in place. I agree with that. I think it's got a lot of merit. I'm not saying it's the only way to do things. If you're doing on dating sites, set out your parameters very clearly. That can work also. The man and woman are mature and previously married, then a sober discussion of what they stand for, what they want, who they are, and formal agreement of covenant terms is vital before consummation in the form of ejaculation by the man in the vagina of the woman. Up to that point, there is no covenant, although a betrothal bond will come into existence with male ejaculation in the mouth, vulva, or anus, and that is already creating a level of lock-in. There's already a death penalty for breaking a betrothal, although there too, there is much grace in this age. Wedding ceremonies, because they deny virginity and put a pastor or priest or law officer in the office of a pagan priest, they are at some level pagan and cursed. So be very careful who officiates and what they say and what you say. Vows after consummation are fraudulent and to be avoided, unless you recite exactly what you previously agreed and you declare that this is what you're doing. So, folks, if you're going to have a ceremony and you've already had sex, then speak to the person performing the ceremony and say, what we want to do is bless the union that already exists. Don't get up there and do a traditional marriage ceremony. You're already married in the sight of Yah. It's fraudulent. It's sin. It's going to bring problems in your life. Get somebody who will get up in front of the people and say, here's John and Jane, and they've been together for a while, and we're coming together today to bless their union. Father, we thank you for John and Jane, and we thank you that you bless their union and whatever goes with it. Do not take vows. You can recite, if you formally entered into covenant before you consummated, you can read out those and say, these are the terms of the covenant that we agreed to before we came together, something like that. African tribal weddings and those for many other people groups are totally pagan and should, if at all possible, be totally avoided. If not, be very prescriptive about it, what is said and done. It's better to offend your relatives than to curse your union. But honor your father and mother, so it's not easy. Ask nicely to be released from a traditional ceremony and just have a party. Overall, for a mature company, it's better to hide away at home for a week or in a hotel and have a really solid consummation and then invite the family for a party later. And if you want the full legal picture, arrange a form of wedding which is explicitly a blessing of what has already happened in order to fulfill the legal requirements for the woman to gain the man's name. That's, I shared that a minute ago. Note that it is Yah's intention that the woman should take the man's surname, but if you don't want to do that, you can covenant accordingly. Remember, you can covenant anything you want to within reason. But understand that if you covenant differently to the way Father intended it to be, you may be setting yourself up for failure. Remember also that if you consummate and things are in place, whether you know of them or not, you're locking yourself into that. So, woman, if you want a monogamous covenant, make absolutely sure that your man, before he consummates with you, is not one flesh with any other woman. If he is, that needs to be dealt with before he consummates with you. Don't have sex with him and then the next day throw your toys out the cot because you find that he's got another woman on the side. So that's the end of this topic. A few articles that you might find relevant on the website, just use the Google search to find them, or the article search. I'll just give you the titles of the different presentations, the different articles. The spiritual interaction between man and woman in sexual union, husband and wife in marriage, discusses this topic in some detail. Another article, What is this thing we call marriage? A sexual life covenant between a man and a woman. Then the one flesh bond. Another, the role of man and the role of woman. Another, the essence of my message regarding prayer. Goes into a whole lot of prayers that you can pray to cut off one flesh bonds, etc. Treachery is a spiritual force. A contentious woman is rottenness in the bones. There's considerable complexity with regard to covenant union between men and women that needs to be understood in order to have a sustainable and successful lifetime covenant union. True virginity is powerful and beautiful. Young women should gently and lovingly be taught the truth about the beauty of what they have, and they should be assisted to find a man to give this precious gift to, who will value it and treasure it and treat her well, the way Father intended. Folks, so powerful, so beautiful, so misunderstood, so much wrong thinking, so much wrong practice. People in various religions who treat women badly, it grieves Father no end. He wants us to have a beautiful union for life. That's the intention. From virginity, taking a virginity for the rest of our lives, 70 years together, that sort of thing. A postscript, the biggest error crippling believers. As a codicil to this article, please read the article on the website near the top of the menu, The Biggest Error Crippling Mature Anointed Believers. You are not a glove puppet. Yah is not going to take control of your life like so many teach and believe. Yah created you to take dominion over the forces of darkness. Yah created you to exercise your intellect and ability to survive and thrive on earth, not for him to live your life for you. If he was going to live your life for you, what's the point of creating you? What's the point of giving you free will and choice? You will determine your destiny when you die. It's a function of what you choose to believe and choose to do and how well you do it. So prosperity requires that you work hard, sensibly, and effectively to earn your living. Folks, this is big. There is so much teaching out there which says that God is in control. Everything is according to his perfect plan. No, no, no. Satan is in control, or the demonic masterminds are in control because Satan's in the pit. The satanic realm is in control. And if there's any planning whatsoever, it's not coming from Yah, it's coming from them, unless you've prayed appropriate prayers. Look at the webpage on the essence of my message regarding prayer. There's dozens of prayers there that you can pray. I spoke about this a few weeks ago. It's also on the archives for the podcast. But the big thing is you have to work hard. You have to get a job. You need to apply your mind. You need to make choices. And that's how you will get ahead in life. And I'd like to then ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. The sole reason this universe, this solar system, this planet, the plants and the animals exist, the human beings exist, so that you and I and everybody else on the planet can have a deep personal relationship with the Creator. And just about nobody knows that, and even fewer people actually actively go out and seek it. It's so caught up in the cares of this world and what have you that to actually spend time daily in prayer, spend time daily in worship, spend time regularly in fasting, Spend time regularly in praise. Spend time regularly reading about him and his ways of doing things and putting it all into practice and integrating him into every facet of your life and talking to him constantly throughout the day, having a dialogue with him, hearing him clearly. That's what it's all about, folks. That's what you're here for. That's why you're here. So just to wrap up, some key documents and a video on the main menu, compendium of important articles, video on second line of the menu, why seek relationship, miracle of Yeshua's death, Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, seven components in drawing close to the Creator, recommended worship, the Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, where will you spend eternity, the essence of my message to Christians, available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show, then podcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. They're all in the top row of the menu. The Google search is particularly powerful. You've got Google functionality searching the entire website, nearly 2,500 articles, well over 1,000 web pages, huge amount of information there. Answers probably to a lot of questions that you may have. Otherwise, email me and I'll help you. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, it does not matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're tall or short, thin or fat. It doesn't matter if you're Muslim, Jewish, Christian, Baha'i, Hindu, Confucius, Buddhist, witch, warlock, Satanist, educated, not educated, rich, poor, brown eyes, blue eyes, blonde hair, black hair, and everything in between. It is irrelevant. Don't let people tell you that they're the chosen whatevers. And you can't have a relationship because you're not a chosen whatever. You can be as close to Father as you choose to be. And there's information on the website that you can use to get there. Look at the website. Just start at the top. Work your way down. There's a wealth of information about getting close to Father, about understanding the way things work, etc., etc., etc. Email me, james@endtimeissueministries.org, and let's get together. I'll counsel you. I'll help you. I'll get on Zoom with you. I'll get on the phone with you. We can talk by email on a daily basis. I'll help you to get there. Thank you so much. You have a good evening. Good night. Father, I